those books that you find yourself continuously returning to, the ones that you didn't even realize you took notes in, and yet as you thumb through it, you see your own penmanship right on the side or recognize the creases that you've made. And now once again, you find yourself in this same book, on this same page, reading what seems like the very first time a message that feels like it is exactly the right time that you need this message. Well, I was thumbing through a meditation manual by a colleague of the name of Reverend Jane Revska, and found myself surprised to be reading again this piece of hers. She's writing about a friend, a dentist, and in it she says, she's considering this friend, dentist, she's considering buying her own practice, but wonders if she could retain the current patients and attract new ones. She wonders if the office staff would like her, or befriend her too much, or resent her, or desert her. She wonders about bill collecting, spending too much time on crowns and root canals, which she likes, at the expense of oral surgery, which she doesn't. She wonders about being a good wife and mother and all-around person. She is scared. Reverend Reska continues, my friend is intelligent, well-organized, energetic, terrific with teeth, but scared. It makes me think we all are. Scared we'll lose the company's big Formica account. Scared we'll miss the time change. Scared we're handling the kids' curfew wrong. Scared our money will be in all the dumbest places when tax laws change. Scared of our failing health. Scared of everything falling apart. Scared that nobody really loves us. Scared of the fragility of all creation. Scared. Now let me just say, I'm really sorry for reading that to you. I was really sorry to myself for coming upon it. As if any of us needs a reminder of all the reasons why we are or should be a little nervous these days. The thing is, I know this story, and I trust that many of you do as well. For me, it was every other Thursday for 3 years when I would talk on the phone to one of my two mentors in ministry. In this particular occasion, it was the spring, years into formal training and professional leadership, when I lay on the floor of our old house listening to the silence on the other end of the phone where one of these two beloved colleagues sat. I had just said the words. The words, the statement, the declaration that I had turned over in my mind too often in too short of a time, wondering if I could say it out loud and terrified of what would greet it if given to the world. Hardly choking back tears, it was much more like a rivulet of fear draining from my body. Maybe I just can't do ministry, I said. It had been a hard few seasons, and I was still getting used to the demand of the job. I reminded Sue at first service, and I will again, you will get used to the demand of the job. Learning what it meant to take care of my body while accompanying others. It was change and transition and newness and clumsiness. It was doubt and lack of control and a sea of shifting power. I was scared. There are, in my understanding, two reasons why we will feel fear. One is the physical or perceived physical threat, like that bear coming after you've just curiously tiptoed into its cave. And the other is when some sense of our identity is threatened or gone. Laying on the floor, letting the silence hold the thing I said, the thing I tried not to think, I could no longer see myself in relation to everything I had loved, everything I had built an identity around. I could no longer find myself in the world. It's the death of your partner as wife turns to widow, or parent without child, a small blessing that there is no name for that. It's job loss, even retirement. It's seeing your parents age and your own body age. It's seeing the world change around you with no tools that you can identify to climb on board, no promise that there is room for you on board. When I saw that this month's theme for October was courage, I did think about writing to the folks at the UUA with a simple note, just a brief one that said something like, "Yeah, it's about time." We're all scared. Months ago, if you remember, during the question box sermon, and for those of you whose first time it is here, a question box sermon is essentially when we take the time for the sermon and the congregation just gives questions to me and I try to answer them on the fly to the best of my ability. Well, during this last one, I was given a question about what we can do with the pain of the world, the fear that comes each week, sometimes daily, confronted with the atrocities of out there. And I can say now, just as I could have in that moment, I landed pretty flat-footed with my answer to that one. I think I responded with something about how it's good to be afraid. That as Unitarian Universalists, we don't turn away from the dark side of things. It means we are honoring our call to be of this life, of knowing the work before us in making salvation possible, in naming life where others claim an end. And that's a fine theological answer, but it's a pretty harsh one. As if we can watch droves of men with torches take to the streets, or sit thumbing the magazines in the waiting rooms that hold the answers to our greatest or gravest fears and think, "Ah, yes, thank goodness, now I have something to do with this theology, somewhere to direct it." Upon hearing about this month's theme, Natalie Ron Laurie's daughter shared this quote, "Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes, courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, 'I will try again tomorrow.'" Some days, I still picture myself laying on the floor, waiting and waiting in the silence for some great escape, either a laugh from the other side assuring me how ridiculous I was to think I wouldn't or couldn't do ministry, or alternatively, some clear but gentle hand leading me to a new path. I have no recollection of how my mentor responded, or even if she did. I only remember how it seemed, at least, there was wholeness. Messy and complicated, but it was as if before, when I dare not tell the world all the things I knew I had doubted or had been afraid of, as if they were holes in my spirit and marks of incompleteness, not readiness, some wrong thing about me. And then, having coaxed the hurting spirit into daylight and laying down in the great expanse of uncertainty without judgment, the courage, the way I had no choice but to state my fears out loud and have them heard, drew my spirit back to life. Some part of me had been seen for the first time in the light, looked at, turned over, and still loved. Now let me be clear. As I heard that scared self reflected back, "Look how you're moving around without joy. My back loosened. Look how you're carrying that regret. My throat grew sharp with tears. The outline of my body did come back. I could see myself again." But it was not the version of that self that we hope to see. I then had fear of the fear, irritation over the interruption of plans, my worldview, my sense of self. But if I wanted this, for me, ministry, for others, life after loss, purpose after production, participation, even if it means humble learning again, there was no choice. Only the quiet voice at the end of the day, ushering, urging to incorporate the scared self into the caretaking of my day. You see, I've mulled it over a lot in the last week between preaching about asking for forgiveness and living with fear. So good of you to show up twice. Please come back next week. We're just fortifying the spirits. I see only two options before us. The first is to hide under the covers, as Robin offered. And let me just say, I'm going to call that a legitimate response on some days. You will have company there. The other is to, with your whole heart, with this as your center, make friends with the anxieties and fears, to love that part of self that feels small and out of control, invisible or thinning. It is to build some strange intimacy between it and aliveness, some sacred exchange with that which seems unbearable and that which makes everything possible. As the German poet Rilke offered, perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us act just once with beauty and courage. Perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its deepest essence, something helpless that needs our love. Courage comes from the Latin cor, or heart. It was the seat of the feelings, the center. And courage meant to live as if enabled by that center, by the heart. This month, as we have 5 Sundays to take a deep dive into this theme, I invite you to first turn to the things that scare you. As our orders of service say, they say we cannot have courage without fear, is that right? Or we cannot have fear without courage. Cannot have fear without courage. I think it's interesting that I say you can't have courage without fear. Turn to the places that need your heart, your courageous willingness to love what you might otherwise detest. Not out there first. And perhaps it's harder, but first within. And then the second part of this invitation is to recall the times in which your heart led. These may not be extraordinary to you, the ways you've loved the things others would avoid, the ways you've been pulled into the next moment with committed and longing drive, but I assure you, anything that has led you through fear, companioned your scared self, allowed you to begin again, this has been an act of courage. This is what we do with fear. And the way that I knew to respond, I wish I knew to respond that question box day. We remind one another that every day we meet the world as we can and do it again the day after that. We name the courage that every day takes, and in doing so, recognize how the spirit may be able to take on more. And when it can't, we ask for the courage to pull away without judgment, to restore as we must, to ask for help, to know our limits, to discover that it is not our fear alone. We hold the fear like a hungry child, bow to its needs as they are our own, and find the sustenance to get you both through the night. Thinking again to Reverend Rebska, my colleague's meditation about her friend, the dentist, it didn't end on the note of being scared. It ended in prayer. And so I will end with her prayer. O spirit of love and life, we aren't the giants we'd like so much to be. and the world can loom so large. When all is quiet and we are small and the night is dark, may we hear the tender breathing of all who lie awake with us in fear, that together we may gather strength to live with love and kindness and confidence. May it be so, and blessed be.